Blog Talk Radio.
Important history.
or simply entertain us. Myth and other hand, they attempt to account for something that occurred in nature, and they tell us about a particular country or person. The use of folk materials by African-American writers began with William Wells Brown, that's right, the first African-American to publish a novel in the United States of America. He used folk anecdotes in the South. In 1880, Charles Walden Chestnut, the father of African-American short story, also used folk material in The Conjured Woman in 1899. You need to know your history. You ought to know your history. Much of the early folk literature with black themes was written not by black African-Americans, but by whites. Some of the Europeans wrote this, and they wrote some of this information to intervene to create the folklores to foster negative stereotypes, that's right, of African-American, portraying them as either comics or empathetic African-American writers. They found a valued source in folk material. Paul Laurence Dunbar, for example, used it in his poetry as he wrote about everyday events in the lives of common people. Poet and scholar Sterling Brown, for example, who taught for many years at Howard University in Washington, D.C., he enlarged the use of folk character by depicting it in a variety of human endeavors, ladies and gentlemen, ranging from trivial to tragic. Then there was Zora Neale Hurston, my favorite, James Walden Johnson, Langston Hughes, Gene Comer, and Julius Lester were among those writers who utilized folk material in their literary work. Why don't you join me and find out more about them? Come on in. Have a seat and help me talk about the people that can fly. Why, you didn't know that there were people that could fly? Why don't you join us this evening and find out all about it, all of our call and response, and the traditional gospel songs that we did? Come on in, we got a treat for you. Sit down and be ready to talk with Omi for a while. Why don't you join us? We'd love to have you here. Thank you so very much for being a part of The Talking Cure. We need to talk up enough cure for the whole universe. That's why we have The Talking Cure and The Care to Read Poem. Omi would like to present to you this evening's session on literary oral tradition. We're going to continue on with a three-part series on the oral tradition. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Care to Read Room. Thank you so much for joining me on another segment of the National Poetry Month. If you haven't checked already, ladies and gentlemen, I have my schedule for Borders. You can go out to Borders on the 30th. I will be speaking at Borders on the 30th of this month. That's right, April, for the children. Not for adults, of course. This will be the storytelling session at 1 o'clock in Borders in Highland, Indiana. You can go on out there and meet Omi, get a chance to shake her hand, and maybe even get some autographs in some of the books that you might buy. That's right, we're going to have books on sale at Borders, and we're pushing several books. I'll be reading from the story at the end of The Sidewalk. I think it's one of the poems out of the books that I'll be reading by this gentleman. I can't seem to think of his name now, but it'll come to me shortly. So come on out and hear Omi read. I will put that on my Twitters, and you can see the scheduled date for the 30th and for next month, the 14th. And for those of you who are not able to get here in our state, just listen to me and call into the room. Why don't you lock that number in at 646-478-0270. Once again, that's at Borders. Why don't you get out there, teachers? You still can get your 30% discount. That's right. In honor of Teacher Appreciation Month, I can't even say it, I am pushing for you to buy your books at Borders and get your 30% discount. Now, I won't be there throughout the week, of course, but you can see me there on the 30th. Come on out, teachers, all over Indiana, Illinois. Come on out and get your 30% off your books. This is the time to build your library. That's right. It's the time. Now, once again, this evening's session is on the African culture and the key terms, indigenous language. Now, many of you have heard me speak an indigenous language in this classroom. I've spoken Yoruba. I am a student of Yoruba. I am not fluent. I am still learning as I self-teach myself. That's right. You can sit down and teach yourself an indigenous language. Now, we talked a little bit about moonlight playing, call and response. I think I left you with a gorgeous little song yesterday. Long as I live, I'll hasten to his throne. Long as trouble rise, I'll hasten to his throne. Then the call and response will go something like this. I love the Lord. See, he heard. I said, he heard. He heard my cry. Long as I live, I'll hasten to his throne. While trouble rise, I'll hasten to his throne. Then that would be the call and response. And then somebody would sing out in the audience like this. There is much confusion in our world today. See, peace has turned into fighting, and world love, see, love is turning into hate. This is not what God intended. This is not a part of his plan. Things are very now. Since the world, since it began, we say God is our Father. We even say we'll trust in him. Yet we've turned our backs on God's ways and fallen into a life of sin. Yet we say we'll seek his forgiveness. We even say we'll follow him. But God would not have led us to this place where we now live. The only hope for the world is God. The only help for the earth is a touch from God. Oh, how we need peace. We must seek peace from all of our hearts. And all our souls, there is no help that we know. And only help in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, we would sing that song, and the soldiers would cry out. That was a call and response, a newer one. Once again, we'll get right into it, ladies and gentlemen. Now, stay tuned for station identification. We'll be right back at you in the air. Here's some Dirty Dozen for you. I hope you're shaking your shimmy and getting in line, you men folk. That's right. Let's go on, ladies and gentlemen. You got your Omeika 7 here, the advisor you need, and the advocate you want. I am your empress here to serve you. If you don't already have that number locked in, call in with your response on National Poetry Month, 646-478-0270. We're going to have a couple of guests that are going to be coming in this month before the end of the month. We're waiting for them to get responses back so you'll be able to interact with them. That's right, but until then, you have your Omi here. Now, we're talking about African proverbs. We aimed at addressing certain lessons to recognize some of the characteristics and the functions of proverbs. And we talked a little bit about that yesterday, to compare African and English proverbs. Now, you can take out your Bible, and there's plenty of proverbs in there under Psalms. And some of you young people and mothers have probably read the Psalms. Well, it was written to be given in a song, but also in giving wisdom and instruction. Most people rely on the Psalms as if they're getting revelation from God. Now, the information that I gave you yesterday that I wanted you to follow up on, we said African proverbs suggest a parallel to the following things. We talked about different things where we gave you some examples. When the cat's away, the mice will play. Remember those things? I want you to go back over them and take a look at them. Today I'm going to talk to you a little bit about folk tales. And I want you to understand that folk tales are passed on. They're not necessarily something that everyone believed in, but they're passed on. So let me give you a little info. I spoke a little bit on the air. I don't know if you heard me or not, but folklores are like other genders and literature, serve as a mirror of what we like to call the human condition. Folklore help us explain the human relationship and our desires and fears, and also clarifies those doubts that we may have about life. Folk tales and mythologies have no cultural ethic boundaries. Now, this is coming from the African American literature book, and that's written by Worley Perry. You could go out and pick that up and find out a little bit more about folk tales. They are used by all the world's people and to convey their culture, religion, and social custom. Although both folk tales and mythologies are based on legend, ladies and gentlemen, there's a slight difference here between them, and I want to tell you what that is. Folklores consist of traditional tales handed down from one generation to the next by common people like you and I. These tales may teach a lesson to children or adults and impart history or simply entertain. Myths, on the other hand, attempt to account for something that occurs in nature and may tell you about a particular country or person. Today I have a story to tell you that is neither a myth. It is factual information. And I think you ladies, why don't you get around, young ladies? This is one you will really want to hear and enjoy. And you women, too. You might already know about Queen Nzinga. Queen Nzinga. I'm going to be reading you from the Queen Nzinga, Aesop's Heroes and Sheroes, written by my own friend. This is a gentleman that wrote this book, and he wrote this material so that more people would be able to read it. And his name is Reed S. Armstead. One of my favorites. He came to my room to read the story personally to me, and I like to do him the honor by addressing it to you today. Queen Nzinga, development, determination, and persistence. If you don't already know about it, get around, ladies and gentlemen, and listen. Kneel down before me, you who seek safety and security. Welcome to the land of the free. I am Nzinga, your king, your Ndola, your supreme leader. I wear the lukono, the bracelet of royal authority. For those of you who seek safety paths, go in peace. You may proceed through Angola without fear or menace. For those of you who seek freedom from slavery, stay here. For I have declared all of Angola a free country. Any slave setting foot on Angola soil is henceforth and forevermore free. The Portuguese call me Andisola Nzinga. Sometimes they call me Jinga, but I call myself King Nzinga, liberator and emancipator of the African people and warrior queen from Mantaba to the east of Indigo. And the West, because I no longer want my people sold into slavery. I fought a war of liberation for nearly 43 years against the Portuguese. The strangers who came from beyond the horizon to trade the flesh of mankind and to enslave free people. These foreigners also come soliciting in listening the aid of the leader of the black city, state, and kingdom, who find it profitable to trade human cargo. That's right, human cargo. The Portuguese, the foreigners, are strange people. It seems to me that their primary purpose is to take what others have, however they can get it, I suppose, and the Portuguese will rob, pillage, murder to get whatever they want. They disgrace the humanity of others. They have no respect or regard for human life. How is it that people come to believe that they have a right to own others simply because they want to? Why do some people believe they can ensure their own freedom only by taking away the freedom of others? Both the Portuguese and the Dutch have tried to advance and protect themselves by enslaving others, but I have frustrated their efforts. That's what I have done, and led the battle not only against the Portuguese, but against the Congo and the Descas and the black nation and nationalists who participate in the slave trade. My purpose these many years is the complete abolition of the slave trade and the complete destruction of any who partakes in the profit from the selling of people. I set this goal even before I became a king queen, and I was persistent and will continue to persist until I exist no longer. Certainly, the people of Africa are not strangers to servitude. In my own kingdom, there are those who pay service to others, but servants are considered members of the whole house, and those who are served recognize their servant humanity. Moreover, it is possible for those bound to service to raise to position of rank and prominence, and their children are free and welcome part of kinship groups. Of course, there are some who are sold, but they are sold as punishment for committing a serious crime. They are usually the prisoners of war who are also sold because they cannot be trusted. Unlike many African-American nations, the Portuguese have neither rhyme or reason when it comes to selling people. They take whomever they can, and they have no regard for other people's culture, experience, or ways of life. For example, when my brother was king, he sent me as a diplomat embassy to Lundra to attend a peace conference with the Portuguese. The Portuguese viceroy thought he would insult me by providing a seat for me, but my attendants quickly rolled out the royal carpet and took turns using their bodies to form a throne for me. It took the victors aback to see that I was so honored by my attendant. In other words, they made a human seat by getting on their hands and knees and allowing me to sit on their backs. The Portuguese do not take seriously to a woman who possesses great power, intellect, and prestige. I was ambassador in Zinga, yet the royal priest demonstrated even more disrespect by demanding that my people pay a tribute to the king of Portuguese. This idea was ridiculous and laughable. To me, of course, who is the king of Portuguese that none others have ever seen. He is no one to us. And who ever heard of a free and noble people paying money to anyone, let alone someone knowing and contentious strangers who wants to take over our land and our people? Who ever heard of paying money to a stranger who disregards the will and sovereignty of people of the land? Because we are a respectable nation of people, and a kind one too, I flatly refused to pay the tribute to king for whom I had no respect. And I told the viceroys he should be glad that we would give back the Portuguese prisoners of war. Finally, an uneasy trance was reached. A treaty was negotiated. Shortly after I returned to my people, my brother died, and I became queen in 1623. What a sad day. A 41-year-old, my first official act was to issue the Portuguese an annulment, honor the treaty or go to war. I said, honor the treaty or go to war. We went to war, unfortunately. I fought courageously. The Portuguese soon began to call me the Black Terror. The Black Terror, would you believe the Black Terror, the Black Queen? I formed a successful alliance with the Dutch, an enemy and competitor of the Portuguese, so that the Dutch could help me expel the uninvited and unwanted Portuguese from my land. Even though the Dutch helped me defeat the Portuguese, I did not trust the Dutch any more than I did the Portuguese. They were both in the same category, if you ask me. It seems to me that all the strangers who come from across the horizon want to dominate the African nation. Tell me why. But the Dutch were the Portuguese enemies and could be used to advance my purpose. This is what I had in mind after we had defeated the Portuguese. I planned to expel the Dutch by enticing the Portuguese slave soldiers away with the promise of freedom if they would join my army. I placed my own soldiers within their ranks to gain knowledge of the Portuguese war strategies and planned against me. I captured many of the Portuguese guns, cannons, and ammunition. I wreaked havoc on the Portuguese forces to advance the sons and daughters and children of Africa who had died by the thousands and marched to the coast or had even carried away some distinct land in other countries. Neither the Portuguese nor the Dutch understood our history or the way we viewed life. Unlikely we Africans, those Europeans have some strange ideas that they can own the land and possess the people. The land belongs to all of us. I said all of us, not to any one individual. People can no more own land than they can catch the air. People can no more possess the other people than they can build mountains. Our people, relate and distant kind, have been in this area of centuries, 4 millions of years. Before that, Ngola, our ancestral mother, bless her soul, lived in the northeastern, in the area where the people made buildings out of stone. I had to show the Portuguese who we really were, and were they surprised. To save my people and to show the Europeans that Africans are courageous, brave, and willing to fight for what was rightfully theirs, I led my army into the battle, and I won battle after battle against my enemies. At times, the Portuguese repelled my force, but I only consisted their outslander, a temporary setback, certainly not a defeat. I was determined not to be resistant. I would not resist and committed to persist. I said to myself over and over again, I will resist and I will persist. Because we were an intelligent race of people, I had to show the Portuguese we could think as well as fight. Therefore, to avoid defeat, I let the Portuguese believe that I had been killed in battle. Rumors circulated that Nzinga was dead. Even my people believed this was true. 5 years, for exact, I waited. 5 years, I bided my time and bided my time. 5 years, I planned my strategies. Then suddenly and swiftly, I came down on the Portuguese and swamped them. They said Nzinga had risen from the dead. They thought I was a ghost or some type of ancestor, and I was. As soon as you can see, I was not dead. I had just, like so many black people, to think of a way to survive the oppressor. I survived. When they thought I was dead, I survived. I am an old woman now, in the anthems of my years, but I have remained true to my lifelong goal to be a king and a queen. Set goals for yourself now, ladies and gentlemen and children, whether they are short-term or long-term. see them through no matter what, if you have to wait 5 years like I did. Say to yourself always, I will, I will, I will never believe that you are defeated. Never believe that you are defeated. Bound back. Know what and when you dream of. Have desires or set goals. You have the ability to make them come true. You can achieve like Queen Nzinga did. And you know, Omi believes that. I was once in a war, and I had the whole host and the government upon my shoulders. But I prevailed, and I won, because I took to heart the tradition of Queen Nzinga, believing that I will persist, even if I have to hide out for 5 years. You do the same, ladies and gentlemen. And don't forget that Queen Nzinga's tradition and folklore are real in the hearts of many. This story can be found in your library. Go and find this story and make sure you read it and understand one thing, that you must stand for something. You must understand the folklores that are passed on through the oral language. These stories are made to strengthen you. They're made to encourage you to stand for something, to find a reason to fight, and stay firm in what you believe. I'm speaking to you mothers out there who may be single heads of household. You too can be a king and a queen. Consider yourself like Queen Nzinga. If someone calls you to take up the mantle for your brother or sister and you have to rule, be ready to rule and be ready to stand strong to what your beliefs are. Now, as we read these fables and we read these folklore, know that they're real because they have real substance to teach us about tradition and about how we can use wisdom and guidance. Queen Nzinga used wisdom to hide away for a period of time to make the enemy believe that she was gone, and she sprung on them at the least time of expectancy. And when she sprung on them, they truly believed she had come back from the dead like an ancestor. You too can be like an ancestor, coming back and bringing your forces with you, having the whole host of heaven on your side, even your ancestors standing with you. And right now I want to light a candle to my mother's spirit, and I say Ashe. I light a candle to my father's spirit, and I say Ashe. I pour libation for my father's side of the family, and I say Ashe. I pour a glass of water for my father and for my mother's side of the family, and I say Ashe. I pour libation to the west, Ashe. I pour libations to the east, and I say Ashe. I pour libations to the north, I say Ashe. And I pour libations to the south, and I say Ashe. I wash my hands and face so that my face is not stale as I meet my ancestors. And I say Ashe. Ladies and gentlemen, as you stand to your feet, know that Queen Nzinga meant a lot to the African race. During this particular time, as she became a warrior, she had to stand on behalf of her country. She stood strongly, and I'm asking every one of you women out there who have to head up households, you have to become a Queen Nzinga, and you have to look at the morals. You have to look at the wisdom that she displayed in her effort to stand and saying, I will resist, and I will persist. We must persist that things are done in this nation the right way. People are losing morals in the end time. They have no character. They have no gesture of how to treat human flesh and blood. We must lift up a standard when the flood comes in. Now that the flood has come in, women from all over the nation must lift up a standard like Queen Nzinga did. And you young Queen Nzingas, lift your standard up high. Stand for something. I don't care. The community will call you out. They will attempt to call you out when they've heard of the good deeds you're doing. Come out. But don't come out alone. Let the angels encamp around you, and the ancestors will go with you, and they will pick you up, and they will let you stand on their shoulders. Know this, Queen Nzingas, you are out there. Proclaim your position. Stand up for righteousness wherever it cries out, and be a Queen Nzinga. And remember that Omi told you, we're all in a war. All of us women are in a war. We just don't know it. But be ready to fight your war when it presents itself. I fought my war, and I had the whole host of heaven on my side. It was a vicious and a long one, but I feel I won the war because I learned the lesson from the fable and the folklore from Queen Nzinga. I hope you will learn yours too. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go get on the bus. It's time to get out of here. Omi's got to get out of here. Being a part of the call and response, ladies and gentlemen, long as I live, I will hasten to the throne. And you respond back and say, wow, trouble rise. Long as I live, I will hasten to his throne. Wow, trouble rise. On that note, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to call and respond when you go to church this Sunday. I know you hear it in the church pulpit. I know you hear it in the sanctuary because Africans do chant and they do call and respond. This is a part of our culture. Let your culture prevail. Teach your children. Children, you come on out and hear Omi speak on the 30th at the Borders talking about poetry for children. That's right. Come on out and teachers, go out and get your discount, your 30% discount at all the Borders who are acknowledging Teacher Appreciation Month. That's just for you asking. Tell them that Omi sent you. They'll know who you're talking about. And ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you tomorrow. Tomorrow is Wednesday. We'll be back at you again tomorrow with a special segment on National Poetry Month. And once again, men, get ready so we can do the dirty dozen. Let's get out of here and dance about it. And I say, Baba Moses, y'all. And I want to say, oh, double and bubba boy to you, y'all. Get on the second bus and let's get up out of here. Come on now, the bus ain't going way too long. To say thank you to all you Twitterers who've been Twittering me and following me. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. And Omi will see you tomorrow at 10:30, same time, same place. Stay tuned. Have a good evening. Goodbye.